and then it just comes up.
Then
you press, there's a keyboard, so you press escape, and then the next one automatically comes up. You click on it, and if you want, I'll just sit here and do that.
Okay, all right.
What I'll do is I'll just do that. As your, as the co-moderator, okay. I'll do that. What else would you like me to do, Sandy?
I don't know. What else is there?
Okay.
You mentioned
at 6:30 in this room.
6:30.
Okay.
I am not in this room. It's in the Marriott Hall Salon.
Will you need water?
I'm all set.
I'm sorry, would you meet? There is water back there in the corner.
I don't need it.
They're back there now.
Do you want me to get your glass?
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 6:30. Yeah, the Marriott.
That's
up on the third floor, third level.
You go down the north tower.
It's the north tower.
At the end of the north tower, you can go outside across the street.
Okay, I put.
Any mistakes?
When you're going down, do the walk, the entrance walkway. Okay. So it's the north tower.
At the end of the north tower.
End of the north tower. Okay. I'll just tell them. The Marriott Hall. In business meeting. Okay. Okay. What time is it? I guess it's time.
Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, good morning and welcome to this session. We will start with Geeta Merchandani, and she is from Texas Department of Health Services, and she will be talking on tooth decay among children in Texas, the effect of living on the U.S.-Mexican border. So if you'd like to welcome Geeta, if you'd.
Thank you, and good morning. So I don't need to read the title again, as it was just announced. I'm going to talk about tooth decay on the border in Texas. I have no financial or other relationships to disclose. So just a little background, dental caries, or tooth decay, is actually the most common chronic childhood disease. The association between socioeconomic status and tooth decay has already been quite well established. So this study sought to examine the relationship between geographic location of residence and the oral health status among Texas school children. So just the study methods here, there's actually two data sets I'm going to talk about. First, I want to talk about both of these data sets were undertaken as part of the basic screening survey, hereafter known as the BSS. The basic screening survey was developed by the Association of State and Territorial Dental Directors, and it's really the gold standard for doing surveillance of oral health status among children and adults. In Texas, we used it to do surveillance of the oral health status of children. The first basic screening survey was undertaken from August 2004 through May 2006. 110 schools were surveyed, and I have to say something. This sample really represents, it's not representative of all socioeconomic strata of schools. The schools that were selected for this first survey represented schools that had at least 50% of children who were economically disadvantaged or were receiving the federal free or reduced school lunch meals. And so during this first survey, almost over 17,000 children were surveyed. It was a school-based survey that children were between 2 and 14 years of age. And now for the, I have to say, for the abstract that we submitted, the data was actually analyzed from this first basic screening survey. But in the time from the abstract submission to this presentation, a second data set became available, which one of my co-authors actually designed the study. And this is the second basic screening survey that the Texas Department of State Health Services carried out. This was undertaken from September 2007 through March 2008. Now, this survey had a smaller sample size, but it was designed to be more representative, actually representative of the total population of third grade elementary school children in Texas. So we selected one grade, and we surveyed approximately 4,000 third graders during the 2007-2008 school year. And the ages of the children were from 7 to 11, and these are all third graders. So this is the data set that actually is going to, the method, the study actually used the second data set for this presentation. So we're going to look at the main outcome measure of this study is untreated tooth decay. And so we're going to look at the proportion of third grade children in Texas with untreated tooth decay or dental caries. So one of the main effects that we wanted to look at was area of residence, where these students live. And so we created a border variable to denote living on the U.S.-Mexico or Texas-Mexico border. Now, there's a lot of different definitions of what constitutes border. In Texas, there are 14, we have 254 counties, and of these 254 counties, 14 actually are on, they physically touch Mexico, they're on the border. The U.S.-Mexico Border Health Commission has another definition of border, and this includes 32 counties that are designated as constituting border counties in the state of Texas. So keep in mind they don't all physically touch the country of Mexico, but they're the 14 counties that physically touch Mexico and then border counties that border those counties. So we're going to use that definition of border. Of course, we also wanted to look at socioeconomic status. Now, as some of you may be familiar with the basic screening survey, it is actually composed of both a physical examination of the child's teeth and mouth and also a parental questionnaire that is completed, and the schools also provide information on the children. So we have school-level data as well as individual student-level data. We unfortunately, as you can understand, income data is very sensitive, and we did not collect data on the income of these students' households, but we were able to ascertain whether these children, again, as in the previous survey, were receiving, at the individual student level, we were able to ascertain whether the child was receiving the free or reduced school lunch meals as part of the federal free and reduced school lunch program. And so we used this variable as a proxy for socioeconomic status, because to qualify for reduced price meals, the household income needs to be at 185% or below of the federal poverty level. And then for free lunch meals, household income needs to be at 133% of the federal poverty level. So the socioeconomic status proxy is really whether the child was receiving free or reduced or neither school lunch meals. So we also looked at Medicaid status. This was also ascertained at the school level. And then, of course, we also adjusted for race or ethnicity of the child, child's age. There wasn't a lot of variation in age, mind you, because these are all third graders, but they ranged from 7 to 11 years of age. And then we also adjusted for the child's sex. Okay, so now I'm going to go over the results. So just looking here at prevalence of tooth decay in this sample, caries experience, which is defined as the child having either active untreated caries or fillings, so evidence of having had caries at some point in time. It's interesting to see that 74% of children who were living in one of the border counties had some caries experience, and 73% not in non-border areas. So really, three-quarters of this sample of third graders had some decay in their mouth at some time or current active decay. And you see there's not really a big difference here. I wanted to make a note. The previous survey that we did in 2004 to 2006 showed these numbers are quite consistent with those, so that's a good sign. In the border area, 74%, so this number is exactly the same from that previous survey, that larger sample, but 67% of elementary school children 6 to 8 years of age in non-border areas had any caries experience. So that number is a little lower, but the border number is, prevalence in the border is consistent from both surveys. And then we looked at, so it's interesting to see, so three-quarters of these kids had some kind of dental caries at some point, and then we also looked at untreated caries, and here you see a significant difference with children who were living on the border. 36% had active untreated caries, whereas a much higher percentage of children in non-border counties had active unfilled caries. So really now we got our prevalence, and then we wanted to kind of look at, so why is there a big difference in untreated caries? There's no real difference in the actual tooth decay these kids are experiencing, but kids on the border are seeming to get better treatment or are accessing care. So we wanted to look more at that. So this data set collected, as I mentioned, some socio-demographic and socioeconomic characteristics of these children and their households. And this table characterizes those. So the sample consisted of 3,864 children. And you can see here we've just stratified by border, non-border status, because that's our main variable of interest. And this distribution is not too surprising. You can see that 91% of children in I think the numbers for Hispanic are switched, but you can see that in the border, this is actually supposed to be 91% there. Sorry, I don't have a pointer, but I think you can see that. But this is actually not too surprising. And then you look at socioeconomic status. You can see here that children in the border are actually, I think these numbers actually may also be reversed. I think when I was doing my, I had coded non-border as 0 and border as 1, so I think these two columns are reversed for race and for socioeconomic status. The Medicaid, though, for you see in the border, more kids are on Medicaid. 42% of children in border regions are Medicaid eligible or actually receiving Medicaid benefits, compared to 26% in non-border areas. So then we used multivariate logistic regression with untreated caries as our main outcome of interest. A border was our main explanatory or predictor variable, and then we also adjusted for these background characteristics I've just presented. So the first column really shows your unadjusted or bivariate results, your crude odds ratios here. And you can see that border, initially it appeared to be protective, but as you all know, the unadjusted results are really not too There are so much other things going on that we really need to adjust. So then we adjusted for socioeconomic status. And what was interesting is border actually even seemed to be more protective once you adjusted for the income level of these students. There's something about the kids in the border actually were less likely to have untreated dental caries. And so then we also looked at Medicaid status. And you can see how the border odds ratio is 0.67 when you're adjusting for socioeconomic status. Once you adjust for Medicaid, you can see Medicaid's explaining a little bit of that protection because it goes up a little bit more, but still not a whole lot. So the Medicaid, the odds ratio for the Medicaid variable is 0.5, which is really showing that kids on Medicaid are having half the probability of, half the risk of having untreated carry. So Medicaid is really shown to be protective here. However, it doesn't really explain all of the effect that border is having on untreated decay. So, really, the conclusions of this study, prevalence of ever having any tooth decay is similar in border and non-border areas of Texas. However, children in border counties are less likely to have untreated or active unfilled cavities or caries. This association remains even after adjusting for socioeconomic status. When you adjust for Medicaid coverage, some of the association is also explained away. However, it really, there's still kind of an unanswered question is that the effect of living on the border is still shown to be protective even once you're holding constant socioeconomic status and Medicaid status. So I was often taught that a study, you know, tries to answer one question but really raises 10 other questions. So this really, you know, warrants, I think, further research into what the effect of, you know, these kids living in border states really have, why there is less prevalence of untreated caries. And I just want to acknowledge my co-authors from the Texas Department of State Health Services. Thank you.
Do we have questions? You have a question?
A previous study in Texas that was done as part of the Peru settlement, the Supreme Court settlement, against the Texas Department of State Health Service's lack of provision of